My name is Nathan Ashley. I've been an elder here at Ignacio Community Church, and this is my church home. And I have the privilege this morning of delivering the message. And today, I really hope to give you guys a message that encourages you and equips you guys to take the gospel and the good news to the world. With that said, I did not bring a backpack. We definitely need to be equipped for where we're going. So I mentioned the good news of the world. Well, today if I turn on the news of the world is not encouraging. I see brothers and sisters at a place where they seem ready to resort to violence. I see my fellow man going down a path of total depravity, of self-worship, of every kind of idolatry. We're told to accept and tolerate sin of all kinds, and I believe that we're seeing a path of despair take its course. I see drug use and alcohol abuse. I work in a school in Ignacio, and you guys wouldn't believe I've heard of all kinds of abuse, sexual abuse and perversion, not just in the world, but in our community, in our schools, on our children. This is not good news. I see the worries of the world on people's faces. I've seen people of all ages commit suicide. One of our own congregants, their nephew, committed suicide this week. I read in the news of people going to safe houses and compounds, people fleeing the city, businesses preparing for riots and boarding up. Guns and ammo are selling out. I see friends and coworkers fearful of COVID. I see people drawing lines, mask or no mask, and I ponder these things. Where do we fall as a church in all of this? And what should our position be? How do we be a light in the darkness? Often, I struggle with this. I've caught myself telling people who are struggling, well, just come to church. Worse yet, I've caught myself thinking, I wish they knew Jesus, and walked away saying nothing. And part of that's why I'm up here today, because I haven't always known what to say. I want to be better at expressing the gospel and loving my neighbor. And that weighs on me heavy sometimes when I don't have those words. So today, with the discouraging news of the world, I hope to encourage you, church. I don't really care who wins the election. I don't really care what happens tomorrow. Because of one thing. God is sovereign. Thank you. I put that in my notes. That's a good place for an amen. So thank you. I needed that. Let's try that again. God is sovereign. This is a basic teaching of all Christianity, that God is sovereign. And what it means is that God is the supreme authority in all things. All things are under his control. I find myself on occasion in a state of worry or concern, and I have to remind myself that God has control over it all. That he reigns, that he is sovereign. This helps me. This can help me reset myself. If he reigns, then I can trust him. In preparing this, I did a little search for like scriptures on God's sovereignty, and it blew my mind. I believe I came across over 300 verses on God's sovereignty. I picked a couple. Let's take a look at a few. In Psalms 115, verse 3, it reads, "Our God is in the heavens, and he does as he pleases." I can't make him do what I want. He does what he pleases. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12, I read, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heavens and all the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." I read that and it reads so smooth, and yet it's all the heavens and all the earth he is sovereign over. In Proverbs 16:9, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps." I can have the greatest plans in the world, but I can do nothing without God. I know, in Job 42:2, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." In Isaiah 46:9 and 10, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient of times to the things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will accomplish my purpose." You guys getting a theme yet? God is sovereign. Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in the mind of man, but the purpose of the Lord will stand." Psalm 103:19, "The Lord established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." I'm going to skip to Romans here. Romans 8:28. "For we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We need to have God be sovereign in our lives. And we need to walk in that, that God will work all things together for good. In Psalms 135, verse 6, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and earth, in the seas and all the deeps." And then I'm hitting the scriptures hard here for a reason. And then Romans 9:18. "So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills." And I'm going to skip to my last one here. In Lamentations 3:37, I have, "Who has spoken it, and it come to pass, unless the Lord has commanded." I look and I ponder the state of the world, and it's not encouraging. But I find comfort in knowing that God is sovereign. Not just looking at like Bible times, God is sovereign now. He's sovereign in our country, He's sovereign in the world, He's sovereign in heaven, and I want Him to be sovereign in my life. I find comfort in looking at my own salvation. And the thought of our own salvation is really the completion of His sovereignty. That He saved me. That He sent His Son Jesus for me. That before I ever was, He thought of me. I didn't earn it. I can't earn it. I'm saved by one thing, by Jesus Christ and His gospel. And this is kind of a transition point here, because I think first we have to establish God is sovereign, whether I want Him to be sovereign or not. But when we get that point first, that God is sovereign, then we can start to look at how do I follow Him. So, first, church, be encouraged by this, that Jesus is sovereign and He reigns. No matter what the news is this week, this month, this year to come, or the years to follow, He reigns. That His love endures forever. But then this is the good news of the gospel. So, we've got some amazing good news here today. And this is the news that has changed the world, that when Jesus left, 12 followers took this and they spread it and it changed the world. No matter what the news says, we've got something the world doesn't offer. So I'm going to try to break this out for you guys. This is the gospel message. It starts with our own depravity. I want to challenge you guys to think about how you can share this with those you love. And I pray that the Spirit will give us all the words to express. We are different because we have hope. And that hope is in the gospel of Jesus. We have comfort in believing that we will be with Jesus when we die. It doesn't matter what happens today. What doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. In order to understand this, it starts with we are all sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. We inherited this from Adam. We all continually trip. We all continually stumble. We can't say, I'm mostly a good person. I do good most days. We still fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, of any sin, is death. We see this with Adam. He fell short of the glory of God when he ate a piece of fruit that God said, don't eat this. We're still dealing with that today. That's when death entered the world. There's a picture here, though. The wages of sin is death, and that's the ah but. And we see this in John 3:16, that God has a plan for us. In John 3:16, it reads, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the second part. First, we accept our own depravity, and then we see God had a plan. And then in Romans 5:8, it continues. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is good news. This is the good news. God had a plan for us, and he wants a relationship with us. We can't earn it. All we have to do is believe that Jesus is God's Son who died on the cross and was raised for our sins. It's really simple. How do we get there? What are the next steps? In Romans 10, verses 9 through 14, it reads, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. This is the hope I have. This is the faith I have. I believe this is what unites us as a church. And I share this hope and faith. It's the same faith of those who came before us. And I believe it'll be shared when I'm gone from this earth. And we have an incredible opportunity as a church right now to witness to those who are struggling, who are worried about the future, who are feeling hopeless, homeless, hungry, searching, seeking for a meaning in this life. I believe that the gospel brings meaning to life, and I believe that when we walk in the Spirit, our life produces many, many, many fruits that are desirable to the world. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. And I want to encourage you, church, when we encounter a world of helplessness and hopelessness, we have the gospel of hope. That's another spot for an amen. And it pains me to think of people who walk this world and all they see is darkness. And we have hope. And I think that is our legacy as believers. That can be our legacy as a church and our nation. That we have hope and faith in Jesus Christ. My hope is that I encourage you guys in this message. Thank you guys for hearing me. May the Lord bless every one of you. We're going to do communion. I'm going to play a song. And if you guys want to come and grab your communion, and then we'll take it together. Jesus. There's a few in Valerie's office, too. So, that song just kind of felt appropriate today. In a world of hopelessness, just to think you were not hidden, we were not abandoned, that Christ died for us. That He would send His Son to die for us. And we have the bread to remind us that His body was broken for us. It was bruised and cut and bled and died. And we remember and thank Jesus. And we have the cup to remind us of His blood that was spilled for us, the cup of the new covenant, but it's also the cup of hope. And in it we were washed white as snow. Remember Jesus. Let's pray and do our benediction. Father God, we thank You that You are sovereign. You give hope. We thank You for coming and dying for our sins. And we ask, Lord, that we can be a witness to You. That we can be that city on a hill, shining light to a dark world. And we just pray for this world, and we just pray for the Holy Spirit to just come and witness to it and witness through us. Thank You. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's do our benediction. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. James 4:10.